Good morning. Welcome to worship. It is great to be with you. If you're visiting with us, we extend a very special welcome to you. And I encourage everyone to register your attendance on the pad so that we'll have a record of your visit with us today. Vacation Bible School starts this evening at 6 o'clock, and if you look around the facility, you'll see signs of that. Laura and her crew have done an outstanding job, and we want to keep the Vacation Bible School project in our prayers this week as an outreach ministry of this church that lives will be touched and the message brought. I have a very special announcement. One of our sweet ladies is having a birthday today, Hyla Rumner. So happy birthday, Hyla. And now let's take a moment and greet and welcome one another. Will you be standing and join with me in the call to worship? May those who love your salvation say continually, "Great is the Lord." Let us make a joyful noise to God with songs of praise. We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord. Affirmation of faith this morning is number 881, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Do we have kids? Come on, Sammy, come on. Oh, there we go. All right. Guess what we have to play with today? That's right, Lincoln Logs. How y'all doing today? How many of y'all like to play with Lincoln Logs? I love Lincoln Logs, which may be one reason I have a log house, in fact. All right, Mary and I have a log house that we live in, actually sort of a log siding, but that's beside the point. Today, Sister Mary is going to talk to us about building things, about building our faith. All right, who knows the story of the three little pigs? You do? Who else knows? Don't y'all know the story of the three little pigs? Okay, what's the story of the three little pigs? Remember? Their mom sends them off. Their mom sends them off on the way, and she says, all right, go make your way in the world. And the first one goes out and is kind of lazy, and he builds his house of straw. And the second one, not quite as lazy, but, you know, he builds his house out of sticks. And the third one says, you know, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to build my house out of brick, right? And then what happens?
The big bad wolf comes.
That's right. And what does the big bad wolf do?
He chases them.
He what?
He chases them.
He chases them. Well, sort of. But first off, he says, I'm going to
huff. And I'm going to puff.
And I'm going
to blow your house down.
I'm going to blow your house down, right? All right. Then what happens? What happens with the straw house?
It blows away.
That's right. What happens with the stick house?
It goes away.
And what happens to the brick house?
It stays.
It stays. Very, very good. Well, you know, there's actually a scripture that sort of follows that too. Now, Mary's going to talk about from Corinthians, but I want to read Matthew 7. In Matthew 7, it says, the rains, you know, therefore anyone who hears my words, hears Jesus, and puts into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock, on a good solid foundation. And the rains came, and the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat down against the house, but it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone hears these words of mine and does not put them to use, kind of ignores it, is like building your house on sand. And the rains came, and the winds blew, and the house fell over. And I made a bit of a mess. But anyway, the house fell because they built it on sand. Just like the little pigs that built their house with straw, and the big bad wolf came along, and he huffed, and he puffed, and he blew the house down. That's right. Well, let's close in prayer. Oh God, I confess, sometimes I don't hear you and I don't do what you say, and I probably built on sand. And so the kind of things, when the tough times come, when the big bad wolf comes, I tend to collapse. Forgive me, God. Now help me be your servant and do your will so that I can build my house on your rock and be strong. In your name we pray.
Betsy and I both want you all to know what your love and support for us has meant in the short time we've been here. And I have been looking forward to singing in honor of my Arkansas church family. So this is in your honor.
Last night I lay a-sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem, beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven answered.
This is Tom and Betsy's last Sunday with us. They are relocating because of his vocation. And no matter where you and Betsy go, Asbury will always have a very special place for you.
Oh, they already do.
And you are in our thoughts and prayers. And we're going to miss you and appreciate everything you all have done.
I'll be thinking about y'all a lot.
And we love you.
Thank you.
call your attention to the prayer concerns printed in your bulletin, and we have some additions this morning. Of course, we want to keep Tom and Betsy in our prayers as they make their transition. Helen Blesch received a call this morning. That's Richard's mother. She was admitted to CCU very early this morning. And also, celebration, Julian Moffitt and Pug Pate, we want to celebrate their marriage yesterday here in the sanctuary. So let's take our joys as well as our concerns to God in prayer. Holy Father, may we be glad when it said to us, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Let it be our delight as well as our responsibility to worship you in the fellowship of your church. This morning, prepare us in mind and spirit for our worship. Tune our hearts to sing and speak your praise. May we receive all that you have to give us and offer all that you require from us. May our lives as well as our words glorify you. Yes, dear God, it's good to be able to come into your house and have this time to hear your voice above the clamor of the world, reminding us that your constant love surrounds us even when we do not clearly sense it. Very humbly, we thank you. For many of us, this has been a week of disappointment and joys, a week of struggles and decisions, some easy, some hard, some very painful. But we find comfort knowing that your everlasting arms wrap around us and embrace us. It's good. It's good to be able to come into your house, to see ourselves as you see us, to learn about how to build our house, not upon the sand and not with sticks and straw, but upon the solid rock of your foundation. A foundation that our faith can withstand the storms and influences around us. And help us, O God, to see ourselves as you see us. May your love be our love. Send us from this place today to do your deeds of mercy and peace. It's both a privilege and an awesome responsibility to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, touch the sick with your healing words, console the sorrowing, visit the prisoners, welcome the stranger. May we see Christ in everyone. The Christ who taught us to pray together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." We worship God with our gifts of tithes and offerings. I want to remind you, there's still some food kits for the homeless that we see on the streets and at the intersections where we stop. Please take them and distribute them. We want to remember the mission of the church and our outreach, the community we serve, not only locally but around the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, receive these gifts, not only of our resources, but of our love, our gratitude for all that you've done for us. May we truly be an influence that changes the world and help our brothers and sisters. Bless the gift, bless those who receive them, and those who give them, in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Thank you.
Remain standing for our hymn of meditation, hymn 369, Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. Heir of salvation and purchase of God. Born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story.
It's my pleasure to bring to you the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ, and we find this in the book of 1 Corinthians. I share with you today the third chapter, the 10th and 11th verse from that chapter. If you want to take your pew Bibles or if you brought your own Bibles and read along with me as we find the Word of God refreshing our spirits this morning, taken from 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and another man is building upon it. Let each man take care how he builds upon it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks. As we began to prepare for Vacation Bible School, which begins this evening, I'm going to share with you a focus upon the children and stretching myself in my comfort zone just a bit this morning and hoping not to insult your intelligence along the way. We're going to look at the gospel according to the three little pigs. Now, as we all know, Jesus was an extremely devout Jew, and pork was abhorrent to Jews. So I'm hoping Jesus forgives me today as we focus upon the pigs, and may God's truth override the Levitic food laws. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs whose mother said to them one morning, "It is time for you to go out now and see the world and make your fortunes." So she sent them out into the world on their own with all the confidence in the world that they would discover their purpose. John 17, the 15th through the 18th verses say, "We are to be in the world, but yet not of it." Jesus prayed that we would live in the world, yet be protected by the evil that could be found in it. "Be not of the world," Jesus said. even as I am not of it. Sanctify yourselves by the truth, for God's word is truth. As the Father has sent me into the world, I have sent you into the world. And that is what God says to all of us, children of our Almighty Father. Jesus does not take us out of this world. No, day in and day out, as we live out our lives, we see very much that we are plunged into the world. But what Jesus does is he sanctifies us. He sanctifies us by his truth. He sanctifies us to fulfill our God-given purpose. That purpose is to build our lives grounded in God's truth, living in God's kingdom, and offering God's work to a hurting world. Matthew 7, 24, 25. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. So, my friends, when you and I are making that decision day in and day out to live our lives in Jesus, to be born again, we are saying to this world, we are builders, building upon the solid rock of our faith, grounded in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, it hasn't taken me long to discover that Asbury is blessed with some extremely gifted engineers and builders. People that work in construction, work along with contractors all the time. And because of their generous spirit and their wise counsel, and yes, saving us some money, they have generally given of their expertise, as we find so often. Repairing the roof, building a new sound booth so that we can have a video ministry, the warehouse, on and on and on again, we find those wonderful things that we benefit from because of their expertise in building. Some of you personally may also have dabbled a little bit in building some structures. Shortly after Tony and I built our home, the next thing we needed to do was build a barn, or as I affectionately call it, Tony's glorified tractor garage, sometimes his doghouse. But I remember digging the footings for the foundation of that barn, and later on his brothers helped him out finishing out the structure. And we really needed that space to hold the equipment to help maintain the property. Structures which are built must be built solidly enough that they can withstand possible storms. The decision before us as builders of our faith, as we are constructing our lives every day, the decision is will we follow Jesus, our solid foundation, or will we not? Will we build quickly without quality and wind up with a house that cannot withstand the inevitable storms coming our way? Or will we methodically, patiently build up consistently that faith of which the greatest storm that we may encounter in our lives cannot erode the core of our spiritual being? The question this morning, how are you building your life? Are you thinking and building about it in such a way that you have readily at hand the building materials you need? Are you ready because you have taken pains to build solidly your faith that you can withstand whatever challenges come before you. Children of God, let's go back to the pigs. They had a mission. Packed up their bags, said goodbye to their mother, and went on their merry little way. They each took a different path, as sometimes we find we are prone to do. The first little pig did not like hard work, so his mission was to build his house as quickly as possible so that he could sit back and watch the world go by and enjoy a life of leisure. He built it on soft sand. He built it out of straw, and he finished the same day he began building it. That night, while lying out in the hammock, satisfied with himself by finishing so quickly, he looked forward to each day of dreaming and lying around. The analogy is fairly obvious. This first little pig is kind of like a Christian who is not concerned about putting effort at all into building up their faith because the distractions of life either don't, in their mind, offer the time to do that or give the priority for doing that. Romans 12:11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I mean, it's clear again, this first little pig didn't like to work. And it takes work to build your spiritual life with the Lord. It takes enthusiasm, commitment, and by all means the right kind of attitude. The first pig's attitude was, well, whatever it takes to get by. I mean, it's still going to be a house I live in, isn't it? What difference does it make how long I took to build it? What difference does it make what I built it of? What difference does it make? People who live like this, I find, tend to spend more time, more energy in having to clean up their mess because they didn't do it right the first time. And it's a rather selfish attitude because there's bound to be people that it affects in living the life that way, that also are having to spend their time, their energy, helping clean up the mess. It's like the fellow who complained to the pastor one time saying, you know, every time I come to church, we're just singing the same hymns over and over and over again. O little town of Bethlehem, silent night, and Christ the Lord is risen today. Well, I could see this man would have a valid complaint if he would come to Sundays other than Christmas and Easter. We call those CEOs, Christmas and Easter only. Now, this CEO Christian was what he figured was, if he came just enough, that would firm up his faith. He would get by. Indeed, that's the kind of faith that will just get you by. What really is important is it's just enough to relieve him of his guilt for another year. I believe the moral of that story is if we're not putting 100% into our relationship with our Lord, it's not going to be there for you. If you're not working at building a solid Christian spiritual life, you have no right to complain. You will reap what you sow. Doing just enough to get by is all you're ever going to do, get by. Well, that little pig strolled down the road the next morning playing his horn, rooty toot toot, to see how his brothers were doing. And that's the second thing that first little pig reminds us of. He likes to blow his own horn. This first little pig reminds me of the Christian that some of us can all be at times, being so proud of the mission we accomplished, being so proud of the task we completed, that we take a moment and rightly celebrate, but kind of get stuck in that moment and don't realize so much more to do for God. Or the Christian that walks into the room and prepares what they're going to share because they are, in their minds, the expert of the situation, without being aware or concerned that there may be someone else in the room that has far more experience, wisdom, and expertise to offer. The Christian that talks himself up while running others down. That's the Christian living in spiritual poverty. Spiritual poverty. 2 Thessalonians 3:11 says, "We hear that some among you are idle, not busy, but busybodies." The first little pig just simply needs to get off the road, put the horn away, and get back to the foundation of his life. I hear myself in that sometimes, getting back to the foundation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Second little pig took one look at the shack that his brother made and said, "I can do better than that." And gathered some sticks together and made that house. He said, "My stick house will look better than his little shack." And so this little pig demonstrates the first thing right away that sometimes we Christians are guilty of: appearances of things, which negate the actual responsibility and obedience we need to be practicing. Now, this little pig, it doesn't take much longer to build his house than it does the first one, maybe a little bit more. And when he thinks about the construction of it, he thinks, basically, "Well, it looks pretty good. I think it can withstand any storm. I hope it can anyway." He's not that worried about it. He comforts himself in rationalizing what he knows is really not true. 1 Samuel 16:7 states, "The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." This second pig knows that he would have had built a stronger house. He doesn't want to spend the extra time, however. He doesn't. He doesn't want to spend the extra money. He doesn't want to give the extra effort to it. I'm hearing a family trait here. So this second little pig reminds us of the kind of Christian who knows and understands his spiritual responsibilities, but he won't discipline himself to do them. It appears God basically plays second fiddle to this one. Lack of spiritual responsibility will have negative effects on one's life. We know this. We can see this. We may have family members that are affected by this very principle. Jesus really taught us to love God's word, to be in God's word, to know God's word, not to just be able to spout off some verse we memorized when we were 6 years old, but to know the scriptures enough to build that foundation. Acts 17:11 talks about how important it was for disciples who followed Jesus Christ to know the word. Acts 17:11. "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." Sometimes we find ourselves being challenged by scripture. Do we know enough to be able to defend the faith? Not to defend our theology. Theology really can't be argued. It's personal. But we need to defend our faith. Another negative effect seen in the second little pig's life is the neglect of his given duties. James 4:17 states, "Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." Oh my. Oh my. Remember, the second little pig thought he shouldn't have made his house sounder, but he said to himself, "Oh, nothing will happen. It won't storm. 1 Corinthians 10:12, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. The second little pig reminds us of something else. We have a responsibility as a Christian to build our life and build it well. Jesus died for us so that we could live a life that exemplified that kind of grace. Do you stop and think about that at all? Not just a man, but the Son of God going through real pain, real agony, and yes, real death, so that you and I can live a life well, grounded in His grace, in His Spirit. Colossians 2:6-7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Second little pig reminds us to stop fiddling around and get serious about our faith. Now for that third little pig. Here's a serious one. He had decided to build his house out of bricks for a more solid foundation. It took him a long time. The work was difficult and tedious. But this third little pig was intent on building the house correctly so that he could live a life of not only comfort, but of peace. He worked and worked with his hands or hoofs, laying bricks and mortar. I think we can obviously see what we're to do with that side of the story. To do it right the first time. To build our faith solidly. And look at the construction materials. The bedrock, the brick, the rock of our faith being Jesus Christ our Lord. And the mortar? That's the Holy Spirit teaching us, guiding us, that we will live a life according to the truth, knowing and utilizing the Word of God in our lives. Here, John 14:26, it really bears hearing. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. My friends, I hope you know I never get up in this pulpit without praying pretty strenuously for the Holy Spirit to guide me and to teach me how to relay His word to you. I don't take it flippantly. I don't take it lightly. And yes, I stressed about talking about pigs this morning to you. And it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit has revealed something of a great old fairy tale of His love and His word and His wisdom. The conclusion of that tale was the little pigs went over to the third little pig's house to see how he was coming along. And when they got there, they saw the sweat dripping from his brow and said, "Brother, relax. Come on. Take a break." But the little pig, the third little pig, just graciously declined the invitation and kept on working till his purpose was complete. I think we Christians need to practice that same tenacity in our endeavor to study God's word and to look forward to doing so. And to embracing the lessons of Christ. To focus first on faith. Most of us know that wonderful scripture in Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you." And then, of course, Ecclesiastes 3. A wonderful, lyrical presentation of life. "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under sun. A time to build and a time to tear down." 1 Corinthians 3:10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So this morning, ask yourself, Lord, how am I doing in building my spiritual house for you, for me? Am I utilizing the tools you've already so generously given me? Those elements readily at hand that you provided. Have I taken such care that it will withstand no matter what storm hits me today? Or have I been lackadaisical about it, putting it on the back burner? Because after all, that big bad wolf's not going to find me. My friends, don't allow your only option in which to be saved be that of your hair on your chinny chin chin. The answer lies in the foundation that you build, the rock solid faith. And I want to share with you that the last few times I've preached the fable of the fig, I gave you Fig Newtons. Last week I threw peanut butter in there and gave you Reese's peanut butter cups. I didn't bring any bacon today. And I hope you're okay with that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We invite the congregation to prepare and stand and sing our closing hymn today. It is Precious Name, 536. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways that we receive members, to come forward and profess your faith in Jesus Christ, or to come forward and to pray, we invite you to do so. It's been a good day. It's always good when we worship together. Please receive the blessing. And now, God, we pray that we will go forward with that rock-solid faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, and that we might bring someone else into the shelter and refuge of Almighty God. May we invite them to know Jesus Christ, the Master Builder, and may we offer them all the tools that they need, that they too can be a part of building in God's kingdom. May we go now in the grace and the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the communion and fellowship of His Holy Spirit, and the love of God, our Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.